Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see only you, Lord. I want to see you. Oh, open the eyes of my see only you, Jesus. I want to see you. Oh, to see you, I to see you. I am lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power of love and see. Jesus, while you come, let's sit down. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. We want to see only you, Lord. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart. Open the eyes of I want to see you, Lord. We want to see you.
Jesus, be a fence all around me every day. Jesus, I want you to protect me as I travel along the way. I know you can.
Yes, Lord.
I know you will.
Yes, Lord.
Fight my battle.
Yes, Lord.
If I'm still.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, be a fence all around me every day, every day. Jesus, be a fence all around me every day. Jesus, I want you to protect me as I travel along the way. I know you can.
Yes, Lord.
I know you will.
Yes, Lord.
Fight my battle.
Yes, Lord.
If I'm still.
Yes,
Lord, be a fence all around me every day, every day. This is my prayer, Lord, that I pray each and every day. That you will guide and protect me as I travel along the way. Lord, I need you to direct me, so hear me as I pray. Lord, be a fence all around me every day, every day. Jesus, be a fence all around me every day. Jesus, I want you to protect me as I travel along the way. I know you can.
Yes, Lord.
I know you will.
Yes, Lord.
Fight my battle.
Yes, Lord.
If I'm still.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, be a fence all around me every day, every day. Sometimes the way was too rough and the nights can get so long. In my hour of weakness, the enemy tries to seal my soul. But when it comes like a flood to surround me, my God steps in to save. I ask you, Jesus, to be a fence around me every day.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Jesus, be a fence all around me every day. Jesus, I want you to protect me as I travel along the way. I know you can,
yes,
I know you will,
yes,
fight my battle,
yes,
if I'm still. Lord, be a fence all around me every day, every day. Jesus, be a fence all around me every day. Jesus, I want you to protect me as I travel along the way. I know you can,
yes,
I know you will,
yes,
fight my battle,
yes,
if I'm still.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, be a fence all around me. Oh, Jesus, please protect me.
Lord,
all around me every day, every day.
While Brother Brian comes, hallelujah, hosanna. Hallelujah, hosanna.
God bless you, saints.
Amen.
We're here again. Now, I'm going to be singing Down From His Glory.
Amen.
Now, the last time, this tune, the only song I knew of this was about 2 years ago, was Elvis Presley singing It's Now or Never. Now, that was the only tune I knew of this. I never even heard of Down From His Glory. But thank God he's brought me here now to sing this for you. Hopefully I do it justice. Down from His glory, down from His glory, ever-living story, my God, my Savior came, and Jesus was His name. To His own estranger, a man of sorrows, tears, and agony. Oh, how I love Him, how I adore Him, my breath, my sunshine. Tender, laid aside His splendor, stooping to woo, to win, to save my soul. Oh, how I love Him, how I adore Him, my breath, my sunshine. Without reluctance, flesh and blood, the Son.
glorious mystery, sacrifice of Calvary. And now I know, Lord, thou art the great I am. Oh, how I love him, how I adore him, my breath, my sunshine, my all in all, the great creator.
Can you, the last song? We'll have to stop there because we've got too many. We've got two to go, so I need to choose. So we'll have Sister Deirdre, and then we'll have Brother Question Mark after that. Amen. Hallelujah. Brother James Machai will bless us today. Amen. Hallelujah. On the keyboard, he's playing a song. It's called Travailing to be Delivered. Hallelujah. Let's. Travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. Travailing in birth and pain to be delivered, to manifest the living Christ. Right? He says, I'm travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. That's how our lives should be. We're travailing to manifest, like the scripture said, creation is waiting for the manifestation of sons of God, and they're waiting on us. So we should be travailing. We should be in our position. We shouldn't be underprivileged. We should be like that slave Brother Branham speaks of, who was proud and he was walking with his head up. And he was very proud. I was speaking to my daughter last night and I was saying, you're a child of a king. You shouldn't be worrying about a job. You should just pray and the job should just come just like that. We can do that. Amen. God, you my God, early will I seek thee. So as I have seen thee in the sanctuary, my flesh longeth for thee in a dry and weary land, where no water is, but I know I'll find thee. For all my life there's been a deep and inward hunger to see my Savior. Oh, and if you don't see you, Lord, I just don't know what I would do. Every tongue that rises, I will condemn. Travailing and burdened still to be delivered. Every day I'm to manifest the living Christ. Oh, I am travailing and burdened, pain to be delivered. Oh, I am travailing and burdened, pain to be delivered. Oh, I am travailing and burdened, pain to be delivered. To see thy power and thy glory, and thy glory, Lord. So as I have seen thee in the sanctuary, thy loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise thee all of my life. You put it deep within me so that I would thirst for you. You place this desire that's in my soul. My heart followeth hard after you, Lord. Every tongue that rises, I will condemn. Travailing and burdened still to be delivered. Every day I'm to manifest the living Christ. Oh, I am travailing and burdened still to be delivered. Every day I'm travailing and burdened, pain to be delivered. Oh, 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 travailing and burdened, pain to be delivered. Then appeared a great wonder in heaven. A woman clothed with the sun standing on the moon, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And before her stood a dragon. When the enemy comes in like a flood, my God will always raise the standard. For no weapon formed against this bride will ever prosper. Oh, every tongue that rises, I will condemn. Travailing and burdened still to be delivered. Every day I'm to manifest the living Christ. Oh, I am travailing and burdened, pain to be delivered. Every day I'm travailing and burdened still to be delivered, to manifest the living Christ. every day I'm to manifest the living Christ. Oh, I am travailing and burdened, pained, I'm to be delivered. Amen. Alleluia, Hosanna. Alleluia, Hosanna. Hosanna. Alleluia, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. Oh, Hosanna. Oh, Hosanna. Alleluia. Oh, we are praising and praising the Lord. Oh, Alleluia. Let us praise and praising the Lord. Oh, Alleluia. Oh, we praise you, we praise you. Came to
to love, Elan to be.
Brother Mike, Sister Patience are asking for prayer. They're at work today, not able to make it, so let's keep them in prayer. We have visitors, Brother David's friend, Matusi, God bless you, from Botswana. We do greet you, feel welcome. Also, Sister Nachiza's friends, Natalia and Rosalia and their family, nice to be with you as well, welcome. They've come, I'm sure, to see the baptism, so we're thankful for that. Also, a couple of announcements. Next Sunday after church, choir practice, please see Brother Jose after service for that. And youth meeting next Saturday, 1 p.m. So quite a few things there. We'll just remind you of those later on. Let's get straight to the Word. Let's open Genesis 1. Let's keep Brother Max in prayer. He's across with Brother Alex Ukeni, taking meetings for him this weekend. Brother Alex phoned last Monday, they got revival meetings, said, would you mind? I said, please, bro, wonderful. So Brother Max is across there taking those services. Genesis chapter 1, let's read from verse 1. It's not very often you start in the Bible at the beginning. But it's good to start in the beginning. Because everything has to have an origin. You have to have a beginning, and there's a purpose, and there's a reason, and nothing happens by chance. So it's always good to go back to the beginning. Let's read Genesis 1 verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now that name God is Elohim. So we're looking at the name Elohim today. God, Elohim, created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. It's like many people's lives as well. Darkness. Without form, without void. Although someone's been created, but they're not serving any purpose. Their life is meaningless, it's aimless. You know, teenage suicides at the highest rate that it's ever been, because there's a whole generation rising up that have been taught that there's no purpose. That we just came from some chance event. We just came through evolution. And that's why Genesis 1:1 is so clear that nothing like that took place. It was God who created this earth, and is God who created you. And He created you for a purpose. But He finds you in that form, that you're without form and void. And it says at the end of verse 2, and the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Elohim, moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And then He continued. Let's read from verse 11. Just to see as He continued now to brood over the earth, the Spirit of God, it says, and God said, let the earth bring forth grass and herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the third day. So God is unfolding it step by step, higher and higher. That's where they got the idea of evolution from. God started off with the lower creatures. Then as He progressed in His creation, He brought forth things to a higher and a higher image until He made man in His image. And that's in the next section, verse 20. On the fifth day it says, and God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. And God created great whales and every living thing that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let fowl multiply in the earth. And the evening and the morning were the fifth day. Don't you love it when he sees something that it's good? Because the next thing, when the Lord sees something good, he blesses it. And if you're really wanting his blessing in your life, just line yourself up with him, and then he will say it's good. And when it's good, down comes his blessing. Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you have everything under your control. We thank you that because you live, we can face tomorrow. We thank you, Lord, that you have life within yourself. That, Father, you rely on nothing that you've created, Lord. But, Father, you are the great I am. And, Lord, we've come once again upon this day because you want to fellowship with you. We want to fellowship with you around your word, Father, because you've revealed yourself in diverse manners. And Father, we look into you. We want to glorify you. We desire that your name would be glorified. We desire, Lord, that you'd be glorified in your people as well. So Father, grant us the spirit of wisdom and understanding upon this day. Bring us to that place that you may achieve your purpose, we pray. And Father, in everything that will be said and done, let your will be done. Bless our brothers yet minister across there in England. I pray your hand upon him. Pray your blessing upon the saints there. Pray for your people gathered around from Northern Ireland down right to the south. Father, we do pray for each brother, each sister, Lord, each minister that would minister upon this day. May your hand and blessing be upon them. And Father, the visitors in our gates, pray a special blessing upon them. Our brother Mike, Sister Patience, Lord, at work, watch over them, we pray. Thank you, Father, that you brought Brother Jose back safely, Brother Virgus and his family back safely. You bless them, we pray. And Father, you continue to lead us and guide us, Lord. Father, so good, Lord, to see Sister Olga once again as well. Father, we thank you, Lord, that, Father, you watch over us, Lord, that you keep us in all of our ways. And Lord, we give ourselves to you now. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Saints, you may be seated. You know, there's this idea that people have about the Lord when you hear the name God. Now, the more that you speak to people, there's so many people who really think that God is some great impersonal force. I don't know how many people we spoke to when we did outreach that you'd find people that say, yes, I believe in something. I believe in this great intelligence. But I mean, if there's any great intelligence somewhere, you know, if I was the creator, if I was great and I was intelligent and I made a creation, what would be the purpose of making that creation? What's the purpose of you having children and building a family? What's the purpose of these things? It's so that there can be something which is personal, so there can be something which is intimate. Now, you wouldn't want to just make children and then have them so far from you that they don't know you and you don't know them. What would be the purpose of that kind of a creation? Why would God make a creation and then stay as some far-off, impersonal force? I've never understood that. It wouldn't make sense to me. If he's so great and he's so intelligent and he creates something, the purpose of his creation is he wanted to make himself known. And friends, God wants to be personal. The moment God is not personal, we don't need a God who's not personal. I don't want a God who's far away. The Muslims worship Allah. They're very sincere in what they do, but they can't know Allah. There's nothing in Allah that he wants to make himself known. Instead, what he does, he gives you certain things that you got to do, certain pillars that you got to keep. And then you're hoping that if you're faithful, that on that great judgment day, Allah's going to accept you for what you did. Now, I don't want that kind of a religion. I want something that's personal and that's real. I want to know the one who created me, and I want to know him in an intimate way. I want to know him in a personal way. And I want to be able to speak to him and him speak back to me. And I want to ask him to say, but what did you make me for? I want to ask him, who are you? Like we find the people in the Bible inquired of God, and God would reveal who he was. And if you're asking, but why did you make me, or why did you make me like this? Then God can reveal to you, I made you like that for a purpose. And God has a specific purpose in making you the way that he made you. And we're going to see that right from the beginning, because the name God, Elohim, the first name that God reveals himself in, sometimes it seems to be an impersonal name, but it's not. God as Elohim, God, Elohim is the creator. He's the one who creates. But one thing about God in his creation, he's very personally involved in his creation. Now God is so personally involved in his creation, because when he creates something, generally speaking, he does it progressively. You know, you find that in the first book of Genesis, when God created the heavens and the earth, he didn't just make everything in one day and everything was perfect. What he did, he made things progressively and he unfolded things progressively. And he would speak and he would bless and he would move and do different things. But it was an unfolding purpose. It was an unfolding program. And God was bringing out of a chaos and a darkness and a confusion something progressively closer and closer into the real image that he wanted it to be. And then one day man stood upon the earth in the image of God, and God rested, and he says, that's what I was waiting for. But God was involved right from the beginning, building things up, step by step and stage by stage. And the good thing about the Lord is that he doesn't make any mistakes. You know, God, when he starts making something, you know, and he starts bringing something up step by step, he doesn't give up on that which he started to make. He's going to see it through to the end. The creation that he starts, even when man falls, God becomes the great recreator. He comes down now when man has fallen and he starts the new creation. Because if any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. He's a new creature in Christ. So God is determined that when he has a purpose, when he has a blueprint, a plan, when he has something that he desires within himself to achieve, and God speaks and God moves to bring it to pass, it doesn't matter what the enemy does. It doesn't matter what comes in the way. It doesn't matter what obstacles there are. It doesn't matter about times when things seem to be going backwards. It doesn't mind sometimes that it seems to be dark and it seems to be void and it doesn't seem to be fulfilling its purpose. He never gives up. Because like I say, God makes no mistakes. When God makes something, there's a purpose. And he's going to make sure that he brings forth from what he's made the purpose that he made it for. And sometimes it's got to be progressive, as I say, as he unfolds himself and works at something stage by stage and step by step to bring it into the full image that he desired. Now you and I, sometimes we're not patient enough with ourselves. We're not patient enough with one another. And we're not patient enough with God. But he's very patient the way that he works, because he's a master craftsman. And you find if somebody is a master craftsman, maybe somebody is an artist or somebody is a sculptor, it's not work that you can just do in 5 minutes. Something done just in a short space of time has very little value most of the time. But if you take any of the great masterpieces of the past that are worth such a fortune, they were things that somebody labored on, somebody worked at, somebody progressively brought something forth. When Michelangelo made the statue of Moses, first it was just a big block of marble. But he had an image in his mind and he knew inside of that block there was something that he could bring forth. But it was a lifelong labor. It was something that he labored at until finally when the image was before him, working day and night whenever he had the opportunity to bring forth that something which he knew was in that block of marble, when finally that image was before him that he had in his mind, he got so overcome by emotion that he struck it on the knee and said, "Speak." Because before him was that which he always had envisioned in his mind. Something which he so much wanted to bring forth. He wanted to see the image of this thing before him. And when it came before him, he was so satisfied that he even wanted the thing to speak. And that's how God works as well. You know, God is very, very meticulous in what he does. He's very, very, he does things very much progressively to bring things from one stage to another, one stage to another. But he's trying to bring something, and he will always achieve it in his perfect will to bring something to a certain image. And that's how he's working in your and my life as well. God has a certain image that he wants to bring us to. He has a certain place and a certain purpose and something that he so much wants to achieve in and through us. But sometimes it's going to be a progressive work. And sometimes he'll take you through this and it seems unrelated to that. But each and every one of these things that he's taken you through, as he overshadows you and he speaks to you and he deals with you, as the great potter dealing with the clay, it's bringing you to something that he has in his mind. And he wants to get it to that state so they can say, it's good. And then he's satisfied, and then God can rest. And he can say, this is what I wanted to achieve in the life of my son. This is what I wanted to achieve in the life of my daughter. But even as Elohim, the great creator, he's so personally involved in this creation. God doesn't just speak and then step back and let things take care of themselves. He comes down himself in his creation. Look at this creation at the beginning of Genesis 1, when it says that he created the heavens and the earth. In verse 2, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And what happened? And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. So the Spirit of Elohim, the Spirit of God himself, came down personally to the earth, which was one of his attributes. God wanted to express himself upon the earth. But earth was, for whatever reason, it was in that form, without form and void. There was a confusion. There was a chaos. This wasn't the way that God wanted it to be. This wasn't the way that God intended it to be. God doesn't make something to be a chaos. God doesn't make something to be without form and void. Something brings it into that condition. The fall of man brought us into that condition. Something else intervened along the way. And this is the way that things were. But God will never give up on his creation. That which is determined, that which is proposed inside of himself. And he comes down himself. And he comes down, God, and he comes and he overshadows the earth. And his Spirit comes down. And that word, when it says the Spirit of God moved upon the earth, literally means the Spirit of God brooded upon the earth. It's like a hen coming to sit on the nest of eggs. And it creates an atmosphere and it puts its wings around them and it covers them with its feathers, and there's a certain atmosphere. There's a certain something which is going on between the hen and the eggs. The hen doesn't just lay the eggs and leave them to itself. There's something. The hen is going to be personally involved and creating and doing whatsoever is necessary to bring the conditions forth so that those eggs can bring forth. And God looking down upon this earth that it wasn't producing, it wasn't bearing what it was supposed to bear. It wasn't in the image that he had envisioned it to be. He took it upon himself personally, the Spirit of God, to come down, and he came and he started to overshadow the earth. And he started to brood over the earth now. And as he brooded over the earth, the atmosphere started to change. Whereas before, the atmosphere was one of chaos and confusion. The atmosphere was one, there would seem to be nothing of God in God's creation that he had made upon the earth. But when he came down now and he settles down, the Spirit of God comes to move upon the face of the deep, move upon the face of the waters. God starts to brood now. And something starts to change. And something's going to take place because of this brooding of Elohim brooding over his creation. And we know what takes place. Step by step, things start to come forth now from this confusion. And we find all of a sudden light is going to come forth when before it was just darkness and void. And there's going to be a separation of light from the darkness, and then a separation of the land from the seas. And all of a sudden the land is rising up and the mountains are rising up out of the midst of this confusion of the oceans and the sea. And then God speaks further and he says, let the earth bring forth grass. And God starts brooding over the earth and something takes place. And now we see grass and flowers and plants starts coming forth. And we start to see some order coming from the disorder. We start to see some beauty coming forth. And we see something which is starting to express who God really is. That he's a master designer. He's a master craftsman. He's the greatest of all the artists that have ever been. Because people take their canvas and they go out to some beautiful location and they see a beautiful sunset, or they see the ocean, or they see the mountains, and they take their paint, and with the talent that they've been given, they go and paint the image of what they have presented before them, and then they take that canvas and they put it in a gallery, and the peoples of the earth, they come and they celebrate and they give the man or the woman a great name, and they make a priceless treasure, and it's in the newspapers and it's worth a fortune. But what about the one who made the original, which this artist is copying from? Who's the greater artist, the one who's copying or the one who made the original that somebody is copying from? So God is the great artist. He's the great sculptor. He's the great potter. That's what He is in His creation. That's what Elohim is. He's the great sculptor. Israel knew Him as the great potter. He says, "Oh Lord, Thou art the potter and we are the clay." Because you'll see later when you get to Genesis 2, God forms man out of the dust of the earth. That word actually means God was a potter with the clay. And God's taken this clay, which seems to be with no purpose. It's just different elements mixed together. Just seems to be dirty and muddy. And you'd look at it and say, "You know, son of man, can these dry bones live? Can anything good come from this?" And then you find when Elohim comes and broods over and He starts working with His great spiritual methodology that He uses, He starts to form this clay into something of His own image. And then you see something which is a masterpiece coming forth. Uncle David says in the Psalms, "I am fearfully and wonderfully made." You know, and then now they study anatomy and they study the human body. And they, you know, when they're trying to make a better camera, they go and study the human eye. Because there's nothing greater than the human eye for them to study with the lenses and the way that it works. And then when they want to make something else, they go and study the human body. Friends, there's a design in all of these things. And woe unto people when they stand before God on the day of judgment, having taught people that these things came by chance. That these things came because of some big bang. Now they've changed. It's no longer a big bang. Now they call it the great silence. I don't know if you've gone and read, but it's no longer a bang that started the things. It's the silence. Friends, what an insult. What an insult. Imagine if you created something so specific and such a masterpiece of design and somebody came and just dismissed it and said, "This just happened by chance." That's insanity. And this world is insane, friends, for looking at this creation, looking at the human body, looking at what God in His design has made. And the devil's got into the systems of the world and teaches these things just happen by chance. It's impossible for these things to happen by chance. Like they say, you get all the 1 million, 2 million parts of a modern, say, a jumbo jet, whatever. You put them in a big pile, put explosives under it, and blow it up in a big bang and see if it's ever going to come down together in the form of a jumbo jet. It's never going to do it. You might be able to take the different parts and the elements, but it takes design. It takes something, an intelligence to bring the parts together, to make them into something that you can see the design, that everything has a purpose to fulfill. And everything fulfills its purpose so well. But woe unto the people who teach those things, friends, when they have to stand before the great craftsman one day. When they have to stand in the presence of God and they've been teaching children and the education systems teaching these things to say, "There's no God. These things happened. There was just electricity or lightning struck some primordial soup or whatever it was. And then, you know, these different elements came forth and just mysteriously over time through chance, these things came together to make such a perfection." Friends, that's nonsense to any natural, to anybody who's got a reasonable mind. You'll just go and consider, like Jesus says, consider the lilies of the field. You'll just go and take one lily and just consider the design in that plant. Put it under the microscope. Take the feather of a bird's wing and see the masterpiece of design. It's impossible for you to say that just happened by chance. It's just people do not want to be accountable to God. They want to try to find some way that to explain to people that these things came to be without being accountable to God in this life. And they found an excuse in evolution. The theory of evolution, they're using that now to say we don't need a God in this creation. But I'm so glad, and I said from my heart, I need that God. I need Him every day. I need Him in the decisions that I make. I need Him in the crises that I face up to. I need Him in everything that I do. I don't want to dismiss Him from anything that I do. I want to welcome Him. I want to bring Him into every aspect of my life. I want Him to be God in all that I do. I want Him to be the potter, and I want to be the clay. I want to be yielded to His hand so He can finish the work that He started inside of my life. I want to be a vessel of honor set aside unto the Master's use. I don't want to just be chance and time and no purpose in this life. God never made us for that. God made us for a purpose. And He made you the way that you are for a purpose. And there comes a time to every life that the same one who came down to the earth and drew near and started to brood, He comes near to the soul of every man and every woman at some time, and He starts to brood and He starts to speak and He starts to reveal Himself to your soul. But you gotta respond back to Him. Because we'll see that in Genesis 1, creation started to respond back to its creator. And the more that the creation responded back and started to bring forth what God was speaking to come forth, the more God would brood. And the greater now, when this creation would respond, the atmosphere got deeper and deeper. And as the atmosphere got deeper and deeper, what was coming forth now was more and more into the image of God. And it's going to be exactly the same as you and I. The deeper we respond to Him, when He draws near to us, the more we allow Him to brood and work inside of our lives, the more we're going to bring forth the very purpose that He made us for. We're going to achieve the very purpose. And He's going to mold us into His very image that He had for us. He's going to make us into what He wants us to be. Now the prophet says in the message, what does it take to make a Christian life? I like that title because he's going to speak about what does it take to make a Christian life. You know, so I always pay attention to those kind of things. He says, now, I want you to notice in the beginning, when God our Father looked over this bleak earth, it wasn't nothing but one great big ball of water. And God sent the Holy Spirit to the earth, the Logos that went out of God. So this is the spirit of Elohim. And it began to brood over the earth. Now the word brood means to make love. Yes, it became like a love affair. It's like when you speak to someone that you love, and the more that you speak, the more you get to know each other, and the love just gets deeper, and the atmosphere changes, and you know, you feel different in your life, and she feels different in her life, and everything else just passes back into insignificance, and it's just you and the person that you love. That's what it is. And that's what that word brood means. When God came down to His creation, God started to reveal His love. God started to reveal who He was in that atmosphere. And that's what it took to bring forth what God wanted to the earth to bring forth. He says, the great Holy Spirit. He says, in a mental picture, we're going to make it like wings, with His great wings around the earth, brooding, making love, cooing, saying, come on, the Father has ordained you. Come, I'm coming to perform what the Father's word has said. The prophet says, is that soaking in? I've come to manifest what Father has spoken. So God said, let there be. But it hadn't yet come forth. And then God had to send His Spirit now to come down. Because the word itself wasn't going to achieve it. It took an atmosphere. And it took God to come down, like to put His great wings as the great eagle, or as the great mother hen puts her wings around the nest and creates the atmosphere. An atmosphere that something good can be brought forth from, because we know whenever He comes, something good takes place. Something good happens whenever He comes. And God came down now and He started to make love to the earth. In that sense, He started to reveal Himself. He started to speak. He started to encourage. He started to bring forth. Say, come forth. And then all of a sudden the birds start coming forth. And then He starts, come forth, I've been sent forth, so that the Father's word will come to pass. But don't forget, He's preaching a message called, what does it take to make a Christian life? If you really want Him to bring forth, friends, it's not a knowledge that will bring forth anything good in your life. Knowledge is good, but it's an atmosphere. It's a relationship. It's a brooding. When you allow the Holy Ghost to get personal with you deep down inside of your soul, when you can get yourself still and quiet and away from the foolishness of this life, and you give Him an opportunity, let the atmosphere get deeper and deeper, then you take His word. Because God was using two things here. He had sent His word, and He sends His Spirit to come to brood so that the atmosphere is right. And then His word starts to bring forth what He wants it to bring forth. And the deeper that atmosphere got, as we get onto the second and the third and the fourth and onto the sixth day of creation, that God had been brooding for 6 days, bringing forth this creation. And now on the sixth day, there was such an atmosphere there. And in heaven, there was such an expectation, because God was saying, it's good. It's getting there. I can see it progressively unveiled day by day. It's coming to the image that I'm wanting it to bring forth. Then on that sixth day when God was brooding, and He says, let's make man in our image. And the word came forth. And then in that atmosphere, God came as a great master craftsman, the great potter. And here came man in the image of God. And then God looked down and said, it's good. And God rested and said, that's what I wanted. That's what I was looking to bring forth. And friends, there's something God wants to bring forth, a perfection in every single one of our lives. There's something He's trying to bring us to. Like I said, it's always progressive the way that He deals with us. He doesn't just speak and it's like that. He progressively brings out. Sometimes it's going to be a day by day work. And the best thing that we can do is allow Him to brood. It's just get that atmosphere right. Just sometimes turn off that Facebook, turn off Twitter, turn off all of the confusion and the noise and all the other things that come to sidetrack us and to distract us. And just get yourself alone with Him. When you find Him drawing near to you and He's wanting to, you know, to express who He is. The Bible says, draw near to Him and He'll draw near to you. And Jesus says, no man comes unto me unless my Father draws him first. So there comes a time where God really wants to deal with you. He wants to address certain things inside of your life. He wants to meet certain needs. He wants to express Himself. He wants to reveal Himself in a greater way. But you've got to allow Him to come and brood. You've got to give Him the opportunity. You've got to respond. But so many people don't respond. So many people don't respond. You find that when God is dealing, it's so easy to resist the working of God in your life. It's so easy to grieve Him away. It's so easy to want to keep things your own way or keep building your own empire or living your own life or thinking your own thoughts because this is the way that I always did it. But He wants to come and bring a perfection. He wants to come and bring the real purpose that He made you. He wants to allow to express the very seed that is in you. He wants it to bring forth of its own kind. He wants you to be fruitful and to multiply like He did to all of His creation. And the only way that could happen is creation and Him had to come into this harmony. That to come into an intimacy. That to be a relationship. That it wasn't Elohim up there in the heavens. But the spirit of Elohim came right down to His creation. And God came and roosted and made His abode. And He started to work and He dealt with creation in that kind of a way. So it took the spoken word. But it took the brooding of the Holy Ghost. And those two elements together brought forth all the things that we see. Amen. Every single thing that we see. He says it. He says to brood. He says, and after a while, when He started to brood, there came a little petroleum moving across the earth. Now, he's speaking in his simple ways, the prophet, about the various elements that make up the creation. Because the grass is made up of certain elements of the earth and elements of the soil and whatever it is, certain minerals and things. And your body is made up of certain minerals and calcium and potash and the different things. But God had all this raw material laying there. There was potash, there was petroleum, there was calcium, there was the rocks and the minerals and everything. But it wasn't in any form or any fashion the way that it should be. So He had to come down and He had to brood. And He had to speak and He had to start bringing the things together now. And as now His creation started to respond and things started to move into certain positions and God started to bring an accumulation of things together, something started to form itself. That's what He's saying. He says, after a while there came some petroleum moving across the earth and a little bit of this and a little bit of that and a little Easter lily came forth out of the earth. If you can put the picture, when I read that, I said, I want to go and see, what does an Easter lily look like again? Amen. I'd put a slide there if you have a look, bro. I think your dad forgot to give it. It's okay. I'll continue reading, but I'll show you. Because friends, from nothingness, just from dust and dirt and mud and water, something so beautiful can come forth. Amen. Something so beautiful. You and I might look at some, they may be an alcoholic. They may be the greatest adulterer that was ever born. They may be a liar, a thief. They can't be trusted with anything. But just allow God to come and brood. Let God come and start dealing with a soul like that. Let this great spirit of Elohim come down and draw near and say, that's not what I brought you forth for. This being without form and void isn't the reason that I created you. And it's incredible what He can bring forth from something that you might have looked at it and said, nothing good can come forth from this. This is just a wasteland. This is just desolation. This is just barrenness and confusion. Friends, just let His Spirit get to work. Amen. And it's not His law that brings it forth. It's His love that brings it forth. Amen. That's when He starts to come and brood and reveals His love and reveals His essence of who He is. And He starts to reveal His purpose and His plan. That's when it starts to bring forth things of beauty, of intricacy. Things that are so marvelously made and so marvelously created that you look at them and say, my, can this come forth from that? Amen. And friends, I look at the lives of many people here and I remember what they used to be. I remember some people, we were speaking about it the other day when we were at Sister Terira's house. And then some of the people, Brother George's old friends were speaking about it, saying, you know, they remember Brother George when he was spinning on his head and his break dancing and with his long haircut and his earrings in his ears and, you know, the things that he used to do. And I remember that well. And you would have looked at a life like it. I remember some brothers, when Brother David came to the Lord and Brother George and some other brothers were saying, we used to see those people in the city and used to think these are serpent seed. Nothing good will ever come from these people. But God doesn't give up because God doesn't make any mistakes. If God has His seed somewhere, there's going to come a time that He's going to come and brood. And He's going to create the atmosphere, the right conditions and the right atmosphere to bring forth something of splendor, something which expresses who He is through that creation that He's made. That's an Easter lily. And you look at an Easter lily, Jesus said, consider the lilies of the field. That's where I got it from. The problem is we don't take time to consider. We're so busy. We're so bombarded in this information age. We're bombarded by news. We're bombarded by gossip. We're bombarded by what's happening. People that we hardly even know what's happening in their lives. And we're bombarded all the time by things telling us what's going on in this person's life, that person's life. And we're so busy in those things that we fail, like Jesus said, to consider the lily of the field. He said, even Solomon in his splendor wasn't arrayed like this. But God, just out of the simple elements of the earth as Elohim, when He started to brood and He started to speak to His creation and the atmosphere was right, things started to come together. Things started to come together and all of a sudden, maybe the angels, when they were watching, they're wondering, what's going on here? And they draw a little bit close and then out of that confusion, out of that mud, here comes something of beauty and here comes an Easter lily and it appears. And this is something that's going to reflect the glory of God. It's going to reflect and show us a part of the attributes that's inside of God. That isn't some far off God. This isn't some abstract opinion or notion that people have. This is the Master. This is an intelligence above any intelligence you and I could ever dream about. This is the greatest designer there ever was. This is the greatest artist, the greatest sculptor and worker that you could ever imagine. And He starts to bring forth, just by His word, in that atmosphere, things of perfection, things of beauty like an Easter lily. Then He says, and the Easter lily came upon the earth. He says, what brought it? The Holy Spirit brooding. Now ask yourself in your life, when has anything good ever come out of your life? Is after a time when you've allowed Him to brood. When you've shut yourself away, the saints coming on a Friday night,
amen,
all night in His presence, in His word, in prayer, He speaks to you, you speaking back to Him.
Amen.
Him wanting to make love to you, and then you wanted to make love back to Him.
Amen.
Friends, that's what it takes to make a relationship. That's what it takes to bring forth something in this kingdom that we're speaking about.
Amen.
But He says, the Holy Spirit brooding. He says, and then God started to brood some more. And He started to speak to those elements again. And elements came together in a different kind of a fashion. Put the next one, bro. And He says, and next came the dahlia.
Amen.
Friends,
hallelujah.
That is a beautiful thing.
Amen.
This is called a firelight dahlia because it's like there's a fire kindling in this thing. You tell me that happened by chance.
No.
I'll tell you, you need your head red. You need your head red. That is a masterpiece.
Amen.
And a masterpiece comes from a master. It comes from the hands of a master. And God had this in His great mind as Elohim. That He wanted to bring forth from that confusion, from that chaos, from just those elements laying there in an earth without form. But he comes to brood and he starts to speak and things start moving and things start coming together. And the next thing comes up, this dahlia. And God looks and says, that's good. He says, but there's more inside of myself I want to express. There's more potential in this earth. There's a lot more in these elements that can come forth. And he continues to brood and he speaks on that, whichever the second, third day, whatever it was, when he brought forth the grass and the plants and the flowers. And the prophet says, and the next thing he brought forth was the azalea. If you put the azalea, something completely different. Different colors, a different purpose, different way, but using the same elements. But he's just bringing them together in a different kind of a way. But he's going to express himself through these things. He's going to show, this is what I wanted it to be. This is good. And friends, that's why there's white people here, there's mixed people here, there's black people here, there's different kinds of people here. Because God is the God of variety. God wants to express himself in a multitude of ways. He wants to express himself in men and he wants to express himself in women. He wants to express himself in boys. He wants to express himself in girls. He wants to show that he's got a purpose no matter if you're old or you're young. That doesn't matter about those things. God doesn't make mistakes. He has a purpose. He designed you the way that you are because there's something he wants to bring forth from you. And he'll work at it and he'll work at it and he's not going to stop working at it. If it's not there at the end of the first day, it's going to continue on the second day. And if it's not there at the end of the second day, it's going to continue on the third day. Until finally before him is expressed what he wanted to see. And he's going to continue to brood. And friends, we just have to make it easier to him, but just respond back to him. When he's dealing with us and when the potter's trying to get those parts of the pottery into the right shape and get the lumps out, and it's not quite the way that it should be and he has to put extra pressure on a certain part. The best thing for that clay to do is just to yield. It's just to give in. It's not to resist. It's not for the clay to say to the potter, like it says, why have you made me thus? It's not for us to do that. Because he's the master. He knows what he's doing. He knows what he wants to bring forth. He knows the end from the beginning. He has the design already in himself from before the foundations of the world. The blueprint was all there. His Bible says he wrote all your members in his book. Before the foundation of the world, the way that you would be, the color of your eyes, the color of your hair, the color of your skin. He knew exactly from these elements, which he makes us all from the same common elements. But in your mother's womb, somehow down in there, he's brooding in the genetics. He's brooding down there in the mystery of birth. And God brings forth exactly what he wanted to bring forth. Because Jeremiah the prophet, when the Lord said to him, go and preach to the people. Go and prophesy in my name. And Jeremiah said, but Lord, who am I? I'm but a child. I can't do it. And the Lord says, before you were born, when yet you were in your mother's womb, I knew you. And I ordained you to be a prophet to the nations. And friends, that's all we've got to do. Is just yield ourselves and brood back to him when he brood back to us. When he's expressing his love to us, when he's revealing himself, you just express your love back to him. And you just let him continue this work and just let that atmosphere be right. And you will find you will produce naturally what it is that God produces, wants you to produce. Because he said to his creation, let everything bring forth of its own kind. The seed that is in it will bring forth of its own kind. And God put a seed inside of you. And God just wants to come and overshadow. Let the atmosphere be right and watch how that seed will start to express itself. It may not be full maturity in a day. But you'll see there's a potential there. There's something coming forth. The Easter lily is breaking through the pond, breaking through the mud, breaking through the muddy waters until finally it bursts forth into the presence of the sun. And it was the sunlight that's drawing it when it's yet in seed form. There's something in the seed that can sense the presence of the sun. Because when God made seeds, he put receptors in the skin of the seed. A seed is a masterpiece. A little seed that has receptors which are always sensing the atmosphere, the temperature, how much light there is, the nutrients. Because it's not going to express itself until the conditions are exactly right. And God put a seed in you and I. And you might have passed through this and passed through this kind of religion and that kind of religion. And you tried Buddhism and Eastern religion and you tried all kinds of things. But that seed in you will never respond to that. Because is that seed inside of you is only going to respond to something. in your age. Then finally, God brings you into the presence of the light of your age, the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. And that seed now, it senses, because it was created to do that. It senses the presence of the light. And as soon as it senses the presence of the light, that seed, it bursts forth and starts pressing towards the light. Because that's what it was ordained to do. But it's got to press through mud. It's got to press through the things that are at the bottom of the pond. It's got to go through so many different things until it breaks through. And then it's in the presence. Then it just unfolds itself. And it starts giving forth the purpose and fulfilling the purpose which it was made. And then the bees are coming and the hummingbird is coming. And it's giving forth its nectar. It's giving forth its perfume in the morning. That's what it was made to do. It's giving forth its beauty for all to see. That's what it's supposed to be in a Christian life, friends. Is that He calls you and you press your way through all your old friendships and relationships that would hold you back and all of your old customs and habits, because there's power in that seed. Like they say, you plant, lay your concrete blocks there or whatever you want, your driveway, and there's grass seeds under there. You'll think those seeds, they'll never live. And you find some of that grass eases its way right, grows right the way under the concrete and sticks up under the edge. There's a power in it. Amen. And some of those seeds are so strong when they use their roots, they can even crack concrete. Amen. To break forth. Amen. Into the presence of something that's calling them and drawing them, for them to express something that they were created for. We're watching a documentary about the salmon in Alaska and how powerful that. There's something that God put in, they say it's an instinct, that when those salmon are born in this pool right on the top of this one river, and then they get to a certain age and a certain maturity, and they swim down from this pool, and they go into a stream, and that stream goes into a river, and that river goes into a bigger river, and they go into a bigger river until finally they come out into the Pacific Ocean. And then they go right around hundreds and hundreds of miles for several years out in the ocean from the pure water, normal water, into the salt water. And then there comes a certain time that something starts to call within themselves. Something starts to call them back to their point of origin, the very place which they're born. And those salmon, they've traced them. And they say it's so incredible with all of the streams and all of the rivers. Every one of those salmon, they start swimming back and they find exactly the main river. And they go up. And then there comes the different branches of the other rivers. And they find exactly the branch of the river they came from. And they keep going up. And they go over waterfalls and through all these obstacles. And they fight their way up. And then finally they come to the little stream which is trickling in. And they'll jump up and go in that stream. And they find their way back to the origin. Amen. Back to where they were born. Amen. And they say each river has a peculiar smell, a particular smell. And that's how they can sense. And they say that they showed this picture of this hatchery where these people were like breeding salmon in this hatchery, which is like a big concrete pool. And this concrete pool had a couple of overflow pipes with metal grilled grates on top. So if too much water got in, the water would just go out and spill out into the river. And they showed the picture. One day they came, it's a video, and they find a big salmon in the pool. And they say, where did the salmon come from? And they catch it and look at the tag. It was born in that place. Yeah. And they say, but how did it get here? And they went and they looked, and that iron grate had been knocked out of the way by that fish. That fish had followed all the way back up the stream and the tributary up into that little drainage ditch that led to the place that it was born. And when it got there, there was a grill above. And it jumped and it knocked, and it jumped and it knocked until it knocked that grill out of the way. And then it got itself in. And then they thought, but if one of them did it, maybe there's other ones there. And they went down to the camera and they looked, and that whole channel all the way from the river was filled with salmon, trying to get back to the point of origin. And they said, there's just something in them. You can't stop them. It doesn't matter what you put. It doesn't matter the obstacles that get in their way. There's a call, and they've got to meet the call. Amen. And when they come to the place they were born, they bring forth. Amen. They breed, and then they die because they fulfilled their purpose. And how much more when God has called you and He's called me? How much more when God has put a seed inside of you? Like He said to Jeremiah, I ordained you a prophet before you were born. And that's why you'll find a person like Jacob. He'll do anything to get the birthright. Because there's something inside of him that's ordained unto the birthright. And that's why there's going to be certain people in this life, friends, the elect. And nothing's going to stop them. Discouragement won't stop them. False religion won't stop them. Their friends forsaking them won't stop them. There's just something inside of them that is calling them back to the origin that they came from. And Jesus says, I came from God, I go back to God. That's what he says. And friends, that's what it is. That's why you don't have to beat somebody. You don't have to threaten somebody. You don't have to coerce someone to be a real believer. You just got to create the right atmosphere. Just let the light be there. Let the Holy Ghost start brooding. Something's going to come forth. Amen. And once it starts coming forth, you can't stop it. Amen. You've just got to channel it and feed it, but it's going to express itself. Amen. If it's supposed to bring forth music for the glory of God, it's going to bring forth music. Amen. If it's supposed to bring forth a prayer warrior, somebody who can call the blessings of God down, just leave it. Amen. Just nurture it. It's going to take care of itself. It's going to bring forth the seed that is in it. Because every seed will bring forth of its own kind. And surely that's all that we've got to do. Just try to make the right atmosphere. Don't try to stumble people and hinder people. Don't get too dogmatic about certain things. But just make sure the atmosphere is right. And just let the spoken word be there. Because God brought the spoken word and he brought the atmosphere through his brooding. And that's how he brought forth the wonders of his creation. As Elohim, that's all that he needed to do the job. The material was already there. He just had to come and start to brood and Amen. Call it forth by making love to his creation. The prophet says, then along came the vegetation, the Holy Spirit brooding. Then after the vegetation came the trees and then the rest of the life. And after a while, birds began to fly from the dust of the earth. And God's calling forth. Let there be birds. Let there be the fowls of the heaven. Let them fly in the expanse, the firmament between the heavens and the earth. And all of a sudden, the elements start coming together in a different kind of a way. And something living comes forth in that form. And the birds start flying. If you go and show, bro, look at this one here. The flamingos. Imagine what it was like when God made Eden. Imagine when things were in perfection. The way that this is fallen now. Creation is groaning now, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. It's marred, it's fallen. When man fell, creation fell with man. The trees groan, the animals groan for life. You see them lying dead by the sides of the road when you're driving and things like that. It's not the way that it was supposed to have been. God never wanted creation to suffer in that way. But imagine when it was in its perfection. If you go to the next one, just to finish with the slides. You tell me that's the result of chance. And I'll tell you there's something wrong with you. It's like somebody who takes days because there's a great function coming up and they've got unlimited resources and they go down to the finest tailor, they go down to the finest dress shop they can find and they get the perfection of garments with the colors blending and matching so perfectly. And then they allow the best of tailors to tailor things perfectly to fit them well. And then they get people to dress them. And the woman does her hair and she dresses herself in all of her finery. And then she comes and presents herself that day. And if you're going to look at that and say that was chance, it's an insult. But in all of the beauty that man can do, you're never going to match this kind of beauty. This natural beauty. Just the way that it is. How God made these things just by brooding. Imagine. And there was just these elements of dust in a confusion, in a disorder. And God's presence and his spoken word. And God started to make love to his creation. And these things started to come forth and fly into the firmament. And God said, let the fowls of the heaven come forth. The prophet goes on to say, the birds began to fly from the dust of the earth. The Holy Spirit brooding them together. So you find one mandarin duck, God makes another one, he broods and he brings them together. Then he makes another mandarin duck and he brings them together and he says, now go forth. And you find the great flocks of birds. Birds of a feather flock together. Amen. How much more with us? Amen. God brings us together. Amen. He broods over us in this age. We may be from different places here, there and everywhere, but if you and I just allow him to brood long enough, we'll come into the perfection of unity. Because that's what you ordained unto. We weren't ordained to be divided. We weren't ordained to be disagreeing with one another, arguing with one another. That's not the seed that's in you. That's the natural fallen man on the outside when you give him the preeminence. But when you give the seed the preeminence, when you let him brood over that seed and let that seed express itself, the soul that you've got inside of yourself, it's just going to be natural that you and I are going to get on well together. If I'm in the spirit and you in the spirit, there's not going to be very much that's going to come between us. Everything else is going to be secondary because God was the one that ordained us to be together. He's the great sculptor. Now he speaks of Michelangelo with that statue we spoke about, the statue of Moses. You can take off the slide, thanks, Brent. He says, he speaks about how Michelangelo, you know, that was such a burden upon him to express Moses in that kind of a form. He says, but now let's turn the page of Michelangelo and let's open another book and read of the great sculptor, the Almighty, who before there was a world, before the foundation was laid, he had in his mind what he wanted. And God never has a new thought. He never changes his mind about anything. So he knew what he wanted you to be. And he's never going to change his mind about your purpose. He's never going to change his mind about you. You might change your mind along the way. You might get caught up in this, that, and the other, but God will never change. He never will change. He says he had it in his mind. He wanted to make something in reality of what was a vision to him, what was in his thinking. Now, Michelangelo, Moses was an attribute of his thought. And God wanted to make a man after his image, the great sculptor. And he went to work on him. And we notice he brought up the materials. The first was fish and then birds and creeping things. But finally, as he brooded being the creator, he wasn't like man now. A sculptor has to take something that's already been created. But he was the sculptor of eternal things. He's the sculptor of eternal things. He was the sculptor that could create and bring into existence that which he had in his mind to do. He can make whatever his attributes desire. And that's what God started to work on. And as he began to work, little animals came forth. And then he began to bring it forth into something else higher. The larger animals, the lion and the tiger and the bear. Maybe then the monkeys and the apes, because the scientists study and they see our hands are similar to a monkey. And you know, that's the closest thing you can find to a man. Doesn't mean we came from the monkey. The prophet says, now, it wasn't evolution, the way that we think it. It was a complete creation. But God was working in a pattern. So God knew everything needs an eye. But an eagle needs a different kind of an eye. He knew that primates, they need arms and legs to fulfill the purpose they're supposed to fulfill. But man needs to be upright. Monkeys need to be able to walk on their hands. So God's going to use a pattern. Many are going to have similar hands and similar legs and similar eyes and similar ears. But everything is customized to work exactly to bring forth the purpose that God made it for. But man studies those things and says, but look, we all came from the same thing. That's nonsense. We never ever came from the same thing in that kind of a form. It was God creating using a pattern. He says, and finally, there came forth a perfection. That was man. He was a reflection of what his creator was. Now you look at the people in the Bible and look how God dealt with them. You look at Joseph in the Bible. God comes down and he starts to brood upon Joseph in the days of his youth. And Joseph now, he's different than his brothers. God opens a certain spiritual something and he sees these great dreams. And his father looks up upon him, Joseph's father, and says, it's good. And he gives him a coat of many colors that he doesn't give to his brethren. And maybe that's the end of the first day in his life. And then comes the night. Because on each of the days of creation, there was the morning and then the evening. And then darkness comes. And Joseph goes through all his trouble with his brethren and he's thrown into a pit. But God hasn't finished yet. Because God hasn't brought forth the image that he made this man for yet. So now Joseph finds himself in the slave market. Then he finds himself in Potiphar's house. And then God comes and broods once again. And now it's the next day in Joseph's life. And God starts to make love with his creation. And he's brooding and he's encouraging Joseph. The Bible says, and the Lord was with Joseph in Potiphar's house. And Potiphar started to see, this is good. Because ever since I brought this young man in, everything which I do is prospering. And he puts the man in a great position of honor. It's like God is saying it's good. It's not yet perfection yet, but it's good. It's good that's taking place. And then comes the end of that day, and it comes darkness again. And then he gets accused by Potiphar's wife, and he's convicted of, but although he's not guilty, and he's cast into the king's prison. And then God comes to brood again. Now, can you see yourself there? I can see myself there. I can see the pattern of how he's been working inside of my life. Because this is Elohim, the way that he deals with his creation. Because he's very personally involved in bringing forth what he wants to bring forth. And God draws forth now in the prison. It says, and God was with Joseph in the prison. And the keeper of the prison says, this is good. This young man's far above anything that I ever had. Puts him in charge of the prison. The whole prison prospers when Joseph is there. And then Joseph now, the Lord broods even deeper upon him. And he has the butler and the baker, and God in his brooding reveals now the interpretation of the dreams of those men. And then Joseph is saying, please, when you get out of the prison, remember me. And then comes darkness again. This isn't the butler for God, Joseph. And he's another 2 years in the prison. But God hasn't finished yet. And then finally it comes to the day of perfection just about. And God is brooding and he's still with Joseph. And then God now gets Pharaoh to have his dreams. And he said, nobody in my kingdom can interpret my dreams. And then the butler says, I do remember my mistake. There's a young man. It was his time. And they bring him out of the prison. And there's such a deep brooding of Elohim in the presence of Pharaoh. And Pharaoh and all of his advisors can sense it, that we've never felt something like this before. And then Joseph says, interpretations belong to God. And he interprets Pharaoh's dreams. And Pharaoh gets so in the spirit because of the atmosphere that's there and says, who is wise like unto you? Takes a ring off his finger, takes off the robe, second robe of the kingdom, puts it upon this young man and says, you shall rule in my stead. Amen. Friends, and God looked down and said, it's good. This is what I deigned him for. And it's the same as you and I. You look at progressively how he's been dealing with you. Stage by stage. Bringing something good out of you, but it's not yet the perfection he wanted. Then maybe taking you through trials is the part he's got to mold you in certain ways once again. Get rid of certain weaknesses. Purge you of certain things that are unnecessary in your experience. And then he comes and he broods over you once again. And there's a revival in your experience. And there's something fresh coming forth from the presence of the Lord. And every time that happens, something good's going to come forth. And you find you start to express more of what you're supposed to express. And people can sense it and people can see it. And it's a progression. And that's how we said last week, stagnation is the most dangerous thing in your experience. Don't ever allow your experience to stagnate. Don't allow yourself to get to that stage. It is no progress anymore. Be careful of those kind of times. That's the wilderness. That's where you get entangled in the wilderness. That's when you start to murmur against God and murmur against Moses and murmur against the manna. And so why are we eating this manna every day? You don't want to be in that kind of an atmosphere. Because you've got an enemy that comes to brood as well. And the enemy comes to brood with his negativity and his criticism. And he comes to brood and say, but God doesn't love you. No, what purpose is there? And all the things that you've done, what good has ever come forth? Don't allow that kind of brooding. When you find that kind of an atmosphere, that kind of a presence drawing near to you, you get yourself in prayer. Put on the garment of prayer. Start brooding back to the Most High. And let the spirit of heaviness flee from you. And get the atmosphere godly around you once again. So that God can come and speak to you in that situation. So he can come and encourage you and reveal who he really is at that time. And be careful, because many times we go and we get ourselves with Mr. Critic and Mr. Unbeliever. And there's two of us now brooding with that negativity like that. Nothing good has ever come forth from that kind of an atmosphere, friends. Nothing will. Because you have a look at Elohim. When he comes down with his great creative power and he broods, what does he use the power for himself? No, he uses it for his creation. He channels this power that he has, this energy that he has into his creation, so that his creation will start to express what they're supposed to express. God edifies, he doesn't pull down. The presence of God is positive, it's not negative. It'll build, it won't destroy and break down. And that's the kind of atmosphere you want to keep inside of your life, because that's a productive atmosphere. That allows God to continue the process of brooding inside of your life. Now, let's bring it to a close with this kind of a thought. Bring it a little bit closer home. Now, we said this word brooding means to make love. It's an intimacy. It's a tenderness. Don't you love it when the Lord draws near? Don't you love it when you're in His presence and He's speaking to you and He's encouraging you? Something comes forth from that kind of an atmosphere. And the prophet says that the word brooding means making love. In the Message Impersonation of Christianity, he says, that little Easter flower came up. He says, what did it? Knowledge? He says, no. It was the brooding of the Holy Spirit. It wasn't knowledge. It needs an atmosphere. Then he continues on. Then he says here, he says, the Holy Spirit brooding from the earth. Brooding over the earth. He's the one who brings it forth. Now, in that kind of an atmosphere, we'll turn a corner there. Christ, the mystery of God revealed. It says God's great mystery.
Hallelujah.
What the eternal God had as a mystery Amen. Has now been unfolded in Christ Jesus and given right down to His church. So this which God has inside of Himself, which this mystery wants to express Himself, wants to make Himself known, He wants so much to reveal it to His church. And listen how He says it. He says, what was once in God's mind
Amen.
Is now in the body of Christ. Jesus making love to His church. His bride whispering secrets to her. Can you see the atmosphere that it needs for Him to reveal His mysteries? To reveal what's really in His heart. I mean, if you have a real long-distance relationship with somebody that you love, you're never going to tell them what's inside of your heart. If you just know somebody from a distance, you'll never tell them the secrets. But when it gets to an intimacy, like when Delilah deceived Samson and brought him into an atmosphere and he thought there was that kind of a relationship, then he told the secrets of the Lord to her. It was very foolish, but it shows in that kind of an atmosphere, people will say really what's upon their heart. And if you want to really know what the Lord thinks about you, get yourself in the right atmosphere.
Amen.
Have the right attitude towards Him. Start to worship Him. Start to express your love to Him. And see what He starts to reveal to you.
Amen.
The prophet says, Christ whispering secrets to His bride.
Amen.
Making love to her.
Amen.
But He wants her to make love back. He goes on now, speaking about how to understand His word. He says, when I get a letter from my wife, she'll say, dear Billy, I'm sitting here tonight. I'm thinking much about you. We had a nice day today. He says, you see, that's what she's saying. But in between the lines, I know what she's meaning.
Amen.
You see, and that's what it is with this word, friends.
Amen.
It's not knowledge. It's relationship.
Amen.
If you want to understand His word, you've got to understand Him first. You've got to know Him. And then you start understanding between the lines. You start understanding what He really means. What He really thinks about
Amen.
You. What His word is really sent to express.
Amen.
It needs that kind of relationship. He says, I know what she's meaning. You see why? Because I'm in love with her. That's the reason I know what she's talking about. I just love her so. I can tell the way she talks what she means. You see? And you can tell it when you really love somebody. When there's the right relationship, you can tell straight away, this person's not saying all which they mean. There's something else that you can sense it yourself. You can tell straight away, this person's not happy because there's a relationship. There's something that hasn't yet been expressed. There's something being said between the lines many times. He says, a lot of times she means a whole lot more than what she writes. He says, amen. And that's the way it is with the Lord.
Amen.
You know, you can take one verse and you can spend the whole week in fellowship with God about
amen.
One verse. Because there's something beyond the verse. There's something beyond the words. There's something God wants to reveal and express to you because His word is eternal. But it needs a certain relationship. And that's why you find people who struggle with the word. The best thing, lay it aside for a while and go and get in a relationship with Him.
Hallelujah.
Then once you're in a relationship and the atmosphere is right with Him, then come back to the word.
Amen.
Then you'll start to understand it really the way that He meant it, the way that He wrote it. You'll start to understand the true meaning behind the word. He says that. He says, well, that's the way it is with God. Just get in love with Jesus.
Amen.
Just get in love with Jesus. Friends, I don't want anybody to tell me as a law, don't do this and don't do that. That's okay. When I was a child, I thought as a child. But I don't want to get to the stage where I just so love Him that there's such a liberty for him to express personally to me the very things that he wants to say. He wanted to be a love affair, a love between you and him. He says, just get in love with Jesus. Then he just takes the word. He says, but when a man gets to reading it as a point of something or other to argue or to fuss about, you get nothing from it. How many times do we find in the message, friends, people take the message and they want to just find something to disprove another person's point? That's not fellowshipping with the word. Nothing good is going to come forth from that because the atmosphere is not right. You're not reading it with the right atmosphere, so you're never going to understand it the way that it should be understood. But when you're approaching it in a way to say, Lord, thy will be done. Lord, what do you want to say to me? Lord, here's my wife, here's my friends, here's the church, here's my brothers and sisters. What do you want to say to them? When you're approaching the word like that, say, Lord, I want you to be glorified. You glorify your name. You're going to start reading the word in a slightly different way. You're going to start seeing things in there that you didn't see before. Because it's an atmosphere. There's a brooding now. He can come and start to brood and he can start to speak into that atmosphere. He says, when you just read it and God comes down and makes love to you, shows you things that you don't even really see it in there. It just looks like it just pulls itself out. Don't you love those times when you open up the word? You're not forcing anything, but it just like pulls itself. I said, that is wonderful. And you want to stay in that chapter. You want to stay on that thought for days and days because there's a virtue, because it's changing you. It's ministering to you. It's putting strength inside of you. It's washing you. That word is life unto you now. But the Bible says to know him is life. You have to know him first. And then when you're expressing love to him, then he comes down to his great love letter. And then he comes down, he starts to unveil the real things behind his word. And then you start understanding it and saying, but I've read that before, but I never saw it like that before. Same like when you take the message books, you know what it's like. There comes a season and a time and an atmosphere and it becomes Elohim brooding over his word. And it's going to bring forth something you experience. And for years to come, the virtue of that fellowship that you had is going to be drawn upon by people down through the years, if there's years to come, that God's going to use what he established in you at that time to minister virtue to his people. That's what it takes. It takes a love affair. It says God comes down and makes love to you. In the message, God making his promise, it says God is a lover. Elohim is a lover, friends. It's not an impersonal being. He loved his creation. And today he loves his creation. And he wants to express himself to his creation. And he wants to express himself through his creation. That's what he wants to do. But it needs an atmosphere. It needs him to brood. The prophet says, speaking about, he says, God is love. God wants to come down and make love to you. He wants to. He says, he's seeking, he's thirsting, he's hungering, trying to get some of your starchy hearts to make love to him. Amen. And it's true, friends. He'll come down in the song worship, and the song leader will be preparing himself before, the days before, and God will come and brood over the song leader. You know, and give him an inspiration and give him an atmosphere, and the song leader will come and start to bring forth now what Jehovah wanted to be brought forth. Amen. To lead people into a certain atmosphere, a certain spiritual condition. And God will come down and he'll get now in the songs and he'll start to minister. And as people start to worship, the atmosphere will start to build. But what does he need? He needs people to make love back to him. Hallelujah. If you're just going to come there and sit there like this, and the song was going on, you're not making love back to him. The atmosphere is never going to get deeper. Imagine on the third day when he came and said, let the fowl come forth. And then creation didn't respond. And he would have said, let the fowl come forth. The atmosphere is right. My spoken word is calling. Bring things. And then creation wouldn't respond back to him. We'd never have seen the beauty expressed in creation the way that we did. But it took his creation to make love back to him. To respond, to his promptings, to the cooing of the dove, the prophet says. You've got to respond. Sometimes you don't feel like it. That's why the prophet says we are priesthood. We offer spiritual sacrifices. Sometimes it's a sacrifice. You come to church, you don't feel like singing. That's got nothing to do with it. Sometimes you don't feel like praying. That's got nothing to do with it. God is seeking such that will worship him in spirit and in truth. That's his desire. He wants worship. He wants a spiritual relationship. Friends, we should never come like the prophet says and sit like warts on a log in church. He says God wants us. God wants to be glorified. He wants us to express something back to him. You may not have the words to say. The song may have exactly the words. Because the song leader, if he allows the Holy Ghost to brood on him long enough, he's going to come forth with a song not even knowing why he's singing it. And that's going to express exactly what you were trying to express. But you couldn't find the words. And when the words of that song come forth, the tears stream down your face. Because there's a harmony, a resonance between that song and what's inside of your current experience. And he's ministering to you. And when he ministers to you, friends, then minister back to him. And sometimes just to say, amen. His worship. Because you're ministering back to him. Yes. If something strikes your soul and you say, but that's the truth. Amen. Then say, Lord, amen. That's the truth. You're making love back to him. But let there be an expression of something, friends. Even if it's just a smile. Some people, even if just one side of the lip would just twitch a little bit, sometimes you'll say, at least something's hitting home here. But sometimes it's not like that. And then you wonder why the word means little to you. You wonder why you're not progressing in your Christian experience. You wonder why you've been stagnant for a long time. Make love back to him. Amen. And friends, I'll bring it back to the point I make many times. Even if people offend you, that's got nothing to do with your relationship with him. Amen. You should be making love to him. Amen. You may not want to speak to somebody else, but you should want to speak to him. Amen. Worship him. Hallelujah. That's what he wants. That's what makes the atmosphere. He'll draw near. And then as soon as you respond, watch how you'll draw even nearer. And the atmosphere will build and build. And then he speaks into that atmosphere. And he starts bringing things together. And he brings something good. And God will say, it's good. And then he'll bless you the way that he blessed his creation. But it needs worship, friends. It needs a response back to the things that he's trying to do to you and I. Otherwise, it just stays as a potential. And never expresses itself in its fullness. He says that. He's trying to get some of your starchy hearts to make love to him. As a love affair. Not as a law, but a love. It's all in love. God so loved the world. And that's what he wants to express as Elohim. He has such thoughts for you. He has such a purpose, such a design, such a pattern that he wants to fulfill inside of your life. But you've got to allow him to do his work. You've got to allow him to brood. Just finishing off, he speaks of Abraham. How he went 25 years waiting for the promise. He says, when Abraham was 75, he was given the promise. At 100, the baby was born. But all through those 25 years, he continually made love back to the Holy Spirit. That brooded him out of the earth. That same Elohim that came and brooded him out of Shinar. Brooded him out of that Babylonian condition that he was in. When God revealed himself and then Abraham responded. Amen. And then Abraham would look and see what God had done to him. And the same one that had brooded him out of the condition that he was, Abraham would make love back to God. Would express his love. And the prophet says him continually making love. And calling the Holy Spirit's word right. Even when he didn't fully understand it, even when he couldn't see exactly how it was going to be fulfilled, whenever the Lord would come down and brood in those different junctions in his life, Abram would say, amen. Amen. Amen, Lord, I don't understand it, but amen, because you said it. And that was making love back to Jehovah. That was keeping the relationship the way that it should have been. And the prophet says, that's how he brought it forth. He says he was calling the things which are as though they are not. He says, and he was made a young man again and brought forth a child. Amen. You see what that kind of an atmosphere brought forth? That kind of an attitude that Abraham kept. But just keeping a love affair. Keeping making love back to Jehovah. Love back to El Elyon. Love back when all the revelation that was coming to him, he was expressing himself back. In the end, it transformed Abraham. And he brought forth the promise. And God said, it's good. This is the very image that I wanted to bring forth. Finally, he says, that's how we come. Because we are Abraham's seed. So we should do the same as Abraham. He says, now the Holy Spirit is here to project the word of God into your hearts. That you will accept it. He's about to pray for people. He says, and our duty and these ministers is to lay hands upon you. The prayer of faith shall save the sick. He says, can you not just take that and make love back to the Holy Ghost? And say, oh, Holy Spirit, your word is true. I'm not sick no more. I'm just getting better all the time. I thank you, Heavenly Father, for your kindness to me. I'm constantly getting better each hour. Watch what takes place as you make love. As you brood back to the Holy Spirit that's brooded to you through the Word. Watch what takes place. That's the secret, friends. It's not working yourself up in emotion. It's not cranking yourself up in any way. It's allowing him to brood. And then expressing yourself back. And allowing every seed to bring forth of its own kind. Then he finishes with this one. He says, now, when the Holy Spirit coos to you and says, sinner, you're God's love gift. I want to make love to you. Won't you do it? Why don't you just open your heart and say, yes, Holy Ghost. Here I am. Here I am. I don't care what anybody says. Holy Spirit, I want you. I want you. You're the one I'm looking for. You're the one. Why do you think we have worship at the end of the service? Giving an opportunity for people to make love back to him. Give an opportunity for you to say, oh Lord, you are good. You are gracious. You are kind. Lord, your thoughts to me are so tremendous. And you find when all this worship at the end of the service is far better than worship at the beginning of the service. It's all just like that. Why? Because he's been brooding over you. And he just wants you now to express yourself because the conditions and the atmosphere is right. And that's what Elohim does, friends. That's how Elohim works with his creation. That was the method that God has used from Genesis chapter 1 to bring forth from anything that is created what he ordained to bring forth. And it's never going to change. It's never going to change. It's our spiritual relationship with him. But he's the one. He's the male. He's the instigator. He draws near first. He reveals himself. And you sense a potential and you sense a possibility. And inside of your heart you feel there's something taking place here. Just respond back. Don't lean on your own understanding. Don't put all your thoughts in the way. Don't put your own opinions, your own prejudice in the way. Just come as you are. And just say, Lord, I'm just going to worship back. I'm just going to worship you because you made me and I'm fearfully and I'm wonderfully made. And as you do that and he continues to minister to you and you continue to minister back, there's going to come times of darkness. There's going to come times of things you don't understand. But God's going to be progressively bringing forth in your experience the very thing that he formed you for. And any person that's been a believer for any length of time here will bear record of that. That he knows what he's doing. We're not yet what we're supposed to be. We're not yet in that perfect image, in that maturity, in that positional placing that he wants us to be. But we sure ain't what we used to be. And what made the difference is the brooding of the Holy Ghost and the spoken word coming into that kind of an atmosphere. Then when he finishes with Adam and Eve, he says, look, he makes the masterpiece, Adam and Eve. He says, and then what does he do? He makes an Eden. Because he's going to take this perfection. He's going to take this which has pleased him so well. And he's going to put it into the right setting. He's going to put it in a garden. And what about you and I, friends? He works inside of your life. He broods inside of you. Brings forth certain things in your experience. Brings forth certain things in your character. Then in due season, he positionally places you as well. And he takes and he puts you in a place that says, now, you express the seeds that's inside of you. You express me in that situation. And that's the purpose that he has for us, friends. He wants to be glorified today. He wants to express himself. He'll minister everything that we need to get the job done. But it just needs us to respond to him, to worship him as he draws near to us. Let's stand. This has come to a short time of worship, friends. Just to express something back to him. Let's sing that song about Father of Life, seated on the throne of grace. It's only by your mercy we are saved.
Father of Life,
seated on your throne of grace. It's only by your mercy we are saved. Lord, you have said, if we call upon your name, we and our families will be saved. So we cry, our Jonah, our Shaddai.
We rely on your grace.
mansion of heaven
is waiting for you
because of what you decided. That was a prophecy, was a prophecy. The angel told to the great messenger. Oh, that is what will, that is what will produce a great victory in the love divine.
Anybody here today and you're saying, I want to walk in the footsteps of Elohim. He's dealing with me. He speaks to my soul. He's drawn near to me. But I've never really walked with Him. Many times I've heard His voice. Many times I know He's wanted to do something inside of my life. But I've never responded the way that I should. I've never made love back to Him. I've never given Him my heart. And you want to just say today, just in a simplicity, so I want to accept this great Jesus, this great one who created the heavens and the earth and then came down in flesh and bore our sins upon the cross. If you want to raise your hand to the Lord and say, I just want to walk in your footsteps, Lord. I just want to glorify. I just want a relationship. I don't want it just to be laws and commandments, Lord. I don't want it just to be people telling me to do this and don't do that, Lord. I want you to come and brood over me, Lord. I just want to wait upon you, Lord. I just want the atmosphere to get deeper inside of my soul. I just want to come within the veil. I just want to bring my rod within the veil that it may blossom and bud, and that it may bring forth the fruit that it's ordained to bring forth. Lord, I just want you to breathe the breath of life to the dry bones in the valley, that the bones may once again be a mighty army, may stand, may achieve your purpose. Friend, do you want to just live an aimless life? Do you want to just live a life of frivolity and foolishness and come to the end of the road and stand before Elohim who created you and put life, the soul inside of you, and stand before Him that day? What are you going to say? What excuse are you going to bring? I would rather say, cast yourself in His hands today and say, have thine own way. Thou art the potter. I am the clay. Just mold me and make me after your will. While I'm here, Lord, I'm yielded and I'm still. Why don't we all come to a time of prayer before Him today? You express something back. You might say, but I don't know what to say. What's in your heart? Just say what's in your heart. If you need help, why not just say, Lord, help me. If you don't understand, say, Lord, I don't understand. If you're confused or if you're in fear, whatever it is, why not just express it to Him? And as you express yourself back to Him, He'll express Himself back to you. Let's all enter into a time of prayer. Father, bringing ourselves before Thee as Your people. Father, just so much wanting to be overshadowed by Thee once again upon this.
Responsibility, Lord Savior. Failure, Lord Savior. What You have called us to do, Lord Savior God. Bless us, Lord Savior, we pray. And bless, Lord Savior, Father. Oh God, this portion of the service, Lord Savior God, we glorify Your name.
Saints, let's just open the Bible before we come to baptism. It won't take long. Let's just open Mark chapter 16. We come to baptism service. Our sister desires to fulfill all righteousness. And may the Lord bless her. The word has come to her and she's responding back. So you'll see how the Lord will continue to unfold Himself to her because she's responded to the dealing of the Lord with her concerning the very first stage, repentance and baptism. Mark chapter 16, the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's read verse 15. And He said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. May be seated for a minute. Now the Bible is telling us something very, very serious there. It's saying that he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. So it shows that baptism isn't just a small thing. You'll say, but I was baptized as a baby. There's no such thing in the Bible being baptized as a baby. You dedicate babies. Jesus, He took the babies in His arms and He blessed them. But you have to believe before you can be baptized according to the Bible. In Acts chapter 2, if you can put it for us, brother, when the church was born, the day of Pentecost, when Peter moved into his position with the keys of the kingdom, filled with the Spirit of truth, and he preached to the Jews that day who had crucified Christ. Acts 2 verse 37. The people, after the preaching of the word, they responded to the word. It says, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Amen. It's always good to respond, friends. Amen. When the word pricks you, ask, what am I supposed to do? Don't just leave it like that and get caught up in the confusion of life and let the opportunity pass you by. They say in the world, strike while the iron is hot. Amen. Make use of the opportunity that you've been given. And they did, verse 38. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So that's God's provided way. But you can't be baptized before you repent. To repent means a change of mind, a change of heart. You realize that you are walking away from God. You are heading towards destruction. God calls you. He draws near to you. He speaks to you. And you turn around. And you say, this is wrong what I'm doing. You haven't maybe changed much of your behavior yet. But that's the first stage. You turn around. That's what it is to repent. You agree and say, this is wrong what I'm doing. Sometimes you don't have the power to stop doing it. He will give you the power if you keep walking with Him. But there's something changes in you first. You realize, this is wrong. I shouldn't say these things. I shouldn't listen to these things. I shouldn't do these things. You turn around and you turn to God. You've repented. Then once you realize that you're wrong, you go and you repent. You confess your sins to Him. You go in the presence of God. You get on your knees and you say, Lord, I've sinned against you. I've sinned against heaven and I've sinned against you, like the prodigal son said, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. And you say, Lord, I committed fornication. I committed adultery. Lord, I abused my body. I used all manner of substances in my body. I poisoned myself. Lord, I dishonored you. I dishonored myself. I dishonored my family. I dishonored my friends. Whatever that you've done inside of your life, you go and you say, Lord, please forgive me. And He forgives you. Because Christ died for your sins. And then once you've repented to Him, you've made it right with God, and something's changed inside your heart, you now come to be baptized. You now come to give a public profession, a public display of something that's happened in your heart. You wanted to show us, like our sister does today, that old things, I'm burying them today in the waters of baptism. The old life, the old habits and customs that were contrary to God's word, that were sinful and wrong, although maybe society may accept them, but God's word doesn't accept them. I'm going to bury them in the waters of baptism. When I come out of those waters of baptism, just as much as Jesus rose from the dead, I want to raise up to newness of life. I want to be a new creation in Christ Jesus. And the Bible says, as many as receive Him, He gives them power to become the sons and daughters of God. But first things first, you've got to respond to Him. You've got to acknowledge your sins. Then you go into the waters of baptism. And baptism, the only scriptural baptism there is in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every person in the book of Acts that was baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's just cover that point for a few minutes because I know people have questions. Matthew chapter 28. Let's see what Jesus said about baptism. Amen. Just to make it clear. Matthew 28 was Jesus, same time as He gave the last commission, great commission to His disciples. Verse 18, Matthew 28, 18. And Jesus came and spake to them. This is when Jesus had resurrected. He's speaking to His disciples, saying, all power, that's all authority, is given unto me in heaven and earth. My, that's the right person to speak to. The one who has all the authority. Next verse, 19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them Amen. In the name, one name, Amen. Of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Now people misunderstand that. They think Father is a name. Father is not a name. Father is a title. Amen. I'm a father, but I have a name. My name is Andrew. Brother Eli is a father. He's got his sons. But his name is Eli. Amen. The name, one name, of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. So God has a name. There's no other name given among men whereby men might be saved but the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. God has given Him such a high name, has exalted that name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow and every tongue should confess. So just as much as He was Elohim, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Rapha, His name now is Jehovah Jesus. That's His name. His name, all the fullness of all the names God revealed Himself in, they're fulfilled now in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the name of redemption. If we're seeking for redemption, if we're seeking for the kingdom of God, there's no other name but the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why Jesus is saying, Baptize in the name, one name, of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Those are the titles of God. But now we need to find his name. And Peter found his name. Peter said, be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He found his name. Let's find another example in the book of Acts. Let's read Acts chapter 8. Just to show one more aspect as well about baptism. This is Philip and the Ethiopian. He preached to him. God dealt with him. He responded straight away. They said, verse 36, Acts chapter 8, in the chariot, as they went on their way, they came to a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What does hinder me to be baptized? That pleases God. Philip's just preached Christ to the man. Just preached about Jesus. And the man, God broods over his soul, speaks to him. The man says, I've got to respond in some way. Here's water, let me be baptized now. You should respond like that. It pleases God. And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, that's the condition for baptism. Amen. If you believe with all your heart, amen, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Amen. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water. Amen. So he was baptized in the water. No one poured water on his head. He went into the water. That's how you get baptized, in the water. And he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip. Now people will say, but I've already been baptized in some other kind of a way. Let's look at Acts 19 to finish it off. Acts chapter 19. This was Paul now, the Apostle Paul. Paul in verse 1, he finds certain disciples of John the Baptist. Verse 2. And he said to them, verse 2, Acts 19. He said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said to him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, unto what then were you baptized? He knew the importance of baptism. Repent, be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. They had been baptized, but not in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul, he saw, maybe they lacked power in the experience. There was something which wasn't right in their Christian lives. He says, have you people received the Holy Ghost? Has God given you the power that he promised? And they said, we don't even know about the Holy Ghost. And we're disciples of John the Baptist. And he says, how are you baptized? He said, listen how he answers it. And they said, unto John's baptism. And John was the forerunner of Christ. He was Elijah in his day. He was a mighty man. But John baptized unto repentance. He didn't baptize in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 4. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people they should believe on him which should come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. Verse 5. They responded. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. In the Amplified Bible it says they were re-baptized. This time, in the name of the Lord Jesus. That's how many of us were rebaptized. Amen. You might have been baptized in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. It was a good intention, but it wasn't scriptural. Amen. It wasn't the way that the Bible says it should be done. Amen. Therefore, it's good for us to fulfill all righteousness to be rebaptized in his name. Amen. You might have been baptized as a baby. It was a good intention your parents had. Many of us were sprinkled with water when we were young. That doesn't fulfill the requirements of the scripture. The scripture says, repent and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He who believeth and is baptized shall be saved. So we're so glad that today our good sister has responded to the word. She's recognized that she needs to fulfill everything which has been spoken for us to fulfill. There's not much that God left us to do. Only three ordinances left for the church: baptism, communion, foot washing. The three natural ordinances, that is, ceremonial worship's been done away with when the veil was rent. But there's three things that we have to fulfill. Baptism, and this afternoon we'll have communion and foot washing. And those are the three natural ordinances that have been left for the church to fulfill until Christ returns. And we're glad today to fulfill all three. Sister, are you ready? Have you got your clothes on for baptism, or do you need to change? Okay. No, if you want to go and get changed, are you ready? Okay, good stuff. Let's stand, let's sing one song, saints, and then we'll do the baptism gladly for our good sister.
in prisoner's chains,
in bleeding stripes,
cold and sad.
Let's pray that night,
and in their pain, began to sing. The chains were loosed
and they were free.
Oh, they sang,
I bless your name.
Oh,
I bless your name.
Father, we bring this baptism to you. We thank you, Lord. Father, just thinking down through the years. Father, right the way back to the first one who was baptized in the Bible. Oh, Lord, what a wonderful thing that it is that you've never changed. You've been dealing with the hearts of people down all through the ages. Though generations have changed, man has changed, kingdoms have changed. But, Father, just in the simplicity of your grace, you've dwelt with the hearts of men and women and boys and girls. And Father, people have been baptized and people have made a public proclamation of the faith that they have in you, of the work that you've done in them. So Lord, today we pray for our sister Nachiza as well, that you would bless her, Lord, with your richest blessings. As Father, she makes the stand, Lord, as Father, she looks away to you. Lord, she's not looking unto us. Lord, she's looking to you. She wants to fulfill all righteousness in her life. She wants to please you, Lord, and even as we sow her as a seed in the waters and she comes forth, Lord, let her bring forth that which you have ordained her to bring forth inside of her life, that you may be glorified in her. Let her be a light, Lord, in whatever situation that she would be. Father, may your hand be upon her. May you keep her satisfied. May you bless her. May you protect her, Lord. May you reveal yourself to her. May you continually draw nigh. May you brood over her in her experience, Lord. Father, may she continually express herself back to thee. May she worship and may she pray and may she love your word. And may you feed her and wash her and be her all in all. Father, I do pray, Lord, even for her friends that have come, that you'd bless them, that have come upon this day to be a witness, Lord. Father, may you bless them for that, we'd pray. And Father, be with us in all that would be said and done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. May stay where you are, saints, if you don't mind. Let's do the baptism. In Jesus' name. We know there's no magical properties in the water. It's not the water, it's her faith that makes all the difference. Sister, if you want to climb in. If you want to turn around there, sister. That way, yeah. If the brothers wouldn't mind just closing your eyes, brothers, while the sister, if you sit, sister, and just make your skirt nice. If you sit and put your legs forward, sister. I think it's pretty cold in there. Sister, this is a proclamation of your faith in Jesus Christ. You believe in Him. You trust in nobody else. You're not trusting in your own works. You're not trusting in any other gods. You trust only in the living God. Because of this proclamation of faith, your confession of faith, if you want to hold your nose, sister, we baptize you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 Let's pray. Father, I bring my sister up unto thee, Lord, upon this day. Thank you that you are faithful to your promise. You have said, Lord, if we repent, if we turn unto you with all our hearts, Lord, and Father, if we take your name in baptism, you said, Lord, that you'd put yourself in us, that you'd fill us with the Holy Ghost. Father, we pray the greatest blessing upon our sister, Lord, beyond silver and gold, beyond the good name that people may give. Father, may you come and dwell in your daughter, we pray. Father, come within the veil, Lord. Fill her with the same glory that, Lord, met Joseph, that met Moses in the burning bush. The same one that dwelt between the wings of the cherubim, Lord. Father, may you come down now and reside and take your dwelling place in the life of our sister, Lord. And Father, may she start to bud and to blossom and to bring forth. And may she be a living testimony. Lord, in this late hour we pray, bless her with your abundant blessing, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 God bless you, sister. Amen. Amen.
From far to serve the Lord,
we come
from far, from far to serve the Lord,
we come from
far. By grace, we serve the Lord.
It is
by grace, by grace, we serve the Lord.
It is by
grace.
My tent is no more pitched down there in Egypt's land. You'll see me no more there, for I live in another land.
Oh, my tent,
my tent is no more pitched down there in Egypt's land.
In Egypt's land,
you'll see me no more there,
for I live in another land.
Oh, hallelujah,
hallelujah. I live in another
my
tent is no more big. Down there in Egypt's land,
you see me no more there.
For I live in another land.
Oh, hallelujah,
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 today sings with joy and gladness. Jesus said, satisfied,
oh, that
shares my
sad.
Oh,
peace is gone, peace is mine, peace like to wherever. Jesus is
wonderful, my teacher. Hallelujah, wonderful, oh. Prince of Peace, my God is He, saving me, keeping me from sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, praise His name. Once a slave, now I'm free, free from condemnation. Jesus gives liberty and a full salvation.
How the sins
of the past have been all forgiven, and my name is inscribed on the book of covenant. Hallelujah, wonderful, oh, Jesus is to me Counselor, Prince of Peace, my God is He, saving me, keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, praises me. Living here with my Lord in a holy union, day by day, all the way, holding sweet communion. Oh, grace has brought to my lowly station, since my soul has received, oh, full salvation. Hallelujah, wonderful. Counselor, my God is He, saving me, keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, praises He's everything, He's everything to me. He's everything, He's everything. Oh, He's my Father, my mother, my sister, and my brother. He's everything. He's everything in this world to me. He's everything. He's everything to me. He's everything. He's everything to me. My father, my mother, my sister, and my brother. He's is my Savior, day by day, my, Jehovah is mine, mine, Jesus is mine, mine, Jesus is mine, Jesus is my Savior, day by day, glory, 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 glory. Somebody touch me. Glory, glory, glory. Somebody touch me. Glory, glory, glory. Glory, glory. Somebody touch me. He must have been the hand of the Lord. Oh, glory, glory, glory. Glory, glory, glory. Somebody touch me. Glory, he touched me. He must have been the hand of the Lord.
Since you can't have a baptism without singing, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. Many turn back. But I trust for my sister, she'll never turn back. The cross before her, she's going to have to take up a cross. The world behind her. Let the waters be like when Israel came out of Egypt. When the waters closed, drowned Pharaoh and his chariots in the sea. Let it be like that. No turning back.
She was asking, can we sing one of them?
One of them. We'll sing that as well. Let's sing first that one. We'll close with those two. Let's sing I've Decided, and we'll sing for the sister, one of them. Then we ask Brother Francois to come, please, to close for us in prayer.
I have decided to follow Jesus.
I have decided.
I have decided to follow Jesus.
Oh, I've decided.
I have decided to follow Jesus.
Oh,
no turning.
Jesus' name, and are telling now both far and wide. let us sing.
I'm so glad that I can say
I'm one of them.
Aren't you glad you played one of them?
One of them.
I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. One of them.
I'm glad.
I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. Gathered in the upper room, praying in His name. They were baptized with the Holy Ghost, then powerful service came. Now what He did for them that day, He will do for you the same. I'm so glad that I can say
I'm one of them.
I'm so glad one of them.
One of them.
I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them, one of them,
hallelujah,
one of them.
Oh, I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them.
Come, my brother, seek this blessing that will cleanse your heart from sin,
that will stop the joy bells ringing and
keep us full of
it is burning now within my heart, oh glory to His name. I'm so glad that I can say
I'm one of them.
Aren't you glad one of them?
One of them.
I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. One of them. One of them. I'm so glad that I can say one of them,
one of them,
one of them,
one of them. Oh, I'm so glad that I can say she's one of them, one of them,
one of them.
I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them.
Most precious, loving Father,
yes, Lord.
We thank you this morning,
yes, Lord.
For your mercy, your grace, and your love to others. Father, if you can sing this song this morning, it was because of the blood that was shed 2,000 years ago.
Amen.
And that brought us to this greater family, Father.
Amen.
If it wasn't because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, we would have not known one another. But we appreciate that blood.
Amen.
That cleansed us from all our sin.
Amen.
That forgive all our trespass. Father, we thank you.
Amen.
And the Bible says there's a joy in heaven.
Amen.
Where there's one soul repented, Father.
Amen, Lord.
If the heaven is rejoice, we rejoice too this morning.
Amen. Yes, Lord.
Because our sister has made a great decision, Father.
Amen.
That she will never regret in all her life, Father.
Amen.
There's a turning point today, Father. Let you accomplish thy word.
Amen.
That you have spoken that those who believe in me will have eternal life. Father, we believe that she now receive the eternal life because
Amen.
She has made personally the confession of her own faith, Father.
Amen.
And she never come the way of the parrot, she come by herself, Father.
Amen.
And we respect and you honor it, Father,
Amen.
By filling her with thy Holy Spirit.
Yes,
Father, as we come to
yes,
preparation of the communion service,
Amen.
Father, look down upon us with the eyes of mercy.
Please,
when you have looked down to us, when we were in this nature of Adam, Father,
Amen.
You have drawn yourself to us, as the prophet says, the story of that great boss, Father,
Amen.
That has a big plantation, that one day he decided to go down and dress himself like people that walk in the plantation area, Father,
Amen.
That he could relate to themselves, Father.
Amen. Yes,
you
Lord.
Did it, Father. Jehovah Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ,
Amen.
You come down to feel the same way we feel,
Amen.
Father. You
yes,
come
Lord.
Down, oh Father, to suffer the same way we suffer.
Amen.
And at the end of it, that day at Calvary, you says everything is finished, Father.
Yes, Lord.
And you have bear, Father, our sickness, our sorrow, Father. And
Amen.
We could rejoice, Father. and have the liberty, Father, because of what you did for us.
Yes,
Father, bless us all, Father, and forgive our sin and our trespass, Father. Yes. And when we take the symbol and the element that represent the true life that was gone out, Father, these things will bring a powerful Christian life.
Amen.
To each of us' life, Father. Because
yes,
each time when we come here, Father, we want to be better people, Father.
Yes.
And when we commemorate in the resurrection day, Father, we want you to be resurrected inside of each of us' life.
Please.
That the reality of the power of the gospel be manifested in each of us, Father.
Please.
We are needy people. Without thee, we can't do nothing.
Amen.
That's why we commit ourselves at thy hand, at the foot of the cross, that you the burden bearer, that you shall bear all our burden, and that you shall give us the liberty, Father, of the spirit, and the liberty from anything that could hinder us to walk with thee, Father.
Amen.
Bless the word that was preached, Father. Let it come like the rain that fall in due season,
yes,
and it will bring, oh Father, the fruit at the right time.
Yes.
Bless us all, bless you servant, and bless every soul that is present this morning, everybody that will be willingly to take thy communion, Father. Let it be a genuine experience, Father.
Yes,
fill us all with thy Holy Spirit. In the wonderful name of our Lord Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thanks, Brad. Just a reminder of youth, 1 p.m. next Saturday, and also choir practice after service next week with Brother Jose. Since let's take an hour break, let's come back to those who are coming for communion, which we hope is all the genuine believers will come back for communion. It's at 3 o'clock. Let's come back 3 o'clock. We won't take long. We'd rather just come and spend some time in his presence. Let's partake of communion and foot washing, and let's finish the day in the house of the Lord. May God bless you. In Jesus' name.
Strength as I run this race to stay on the path, no matter what I face. Jesus Christ in my arm, feel the change growing from the start. Who can bring the clean thing out of the unclean? None but Jesus Christ calling on the sin. This race, choice is yours, one you feed the most. He who began a good work in you is faithful to finish. His word is true. Your heart, Lord, have your way. Oh, I'm not what I ought to be. I'm to be, but I know that I'm not what I used to be. I'll keep pressing for the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus. Where I need to be, God wants me to be. Changing my life now that Christ is in, a picture of him.
should be.